And now, the life of Mary Southern. More than 2 weeks have passed since the death of Mary's husband, Max Sanders. 2 weeks in which Mary has retreated from the actual world around her, finding comfort in her conviction that Max still lives, that he is with her constantly, whispering words of comfort. The pleas of her devoted friends, Daddy Stratford and John Benson, were unavailing, and they are more worried than they dare admit about her strange mental condition. The dramatic climax came on Christmas Eve, when Mary heard Max's voice pleading with her and urging her to follow him. And Mary, forgetful of home, of her friends, of everything but Max, went out of the house and into the night. Now it is late on the following afternoon, Christmas Day. It is dark and a wet snow is falling, for Mary's strange mood of exaltation continues. She has taken a bus as far as the small city of Craig's Falls, and now, covered with snow from head to foot, she is wandering aimlessly near the deserted waterfront where Max's voice has led her.
Everything's so peaceful and quiet. There isn't another soul in the world but you and me, Max, darling. Just you and me. I could have stayed on the bus, Max. I had money enough to travel a little farther, but you wanted me to stop here, didn't you? Why? Why, Max? Max, you're still with me, aren't you? Max, I'm all alone in a strange city. You haven't left me, have you?
Don't be afraid, Mary. It's the right road. Don't be afraid.
Oh, Max, my dear. It's so good to hear your voice. You did want me to come here, didn't you? Once you and I drove through Craig's Falls, that was before we were married. We drove down here to the waterfront just as the sun was setting. We were so happy that day, weren't we, darling? We always promised each other we'd come back here someday, but we never did we?
We're here now, Mary. You'll find the happiness here. Don't be afraid, darling. Don't be afraid of anything.
While Mary lingers at the waterfront in the small city of Craig's Falls, forgetful of everything, hearing only the voice of her husband, Mary's friends in Sanders, 70 miles away, are desperately worried about her. Young Dr. John Benson, who loves Mary devotedly, has just entered the Stratford Hotel. Daddy Stratford greets him anxiously.
John, oh, you don't have to tell me. I can see by your face that there's no news.
Nothing hopeful, Daddy. I just had a long talk with the bus driver.
Yeah? Did she take that through bus, John? You know, just after Mary went out of the door last night, I seen the bus go by the house.
I think she did take the bus. At least the driver remembered a woman getting on about a block from Mary's house.
Yeah, now that gives her something to go on.
Not much, Daddy. The driver can't remember where she got off. For all we know, she may be out of the state by this time, or maybe in one of a dozen towns along the line.
Oh, I'm a stupid, blundering old fool. I went over to Mary's last night to keep her company and cheer her up. And then I let her walk out and disappear. If only I'd have stopped her instead of standing there like a dumb galoot staring at the door.
You couldn't know she'd wander off like this. Oh, it's really my fault. We're not watching her more closely.
John, maybe that's Mary on the phone.
I hope so, Daddy, but...
Hello? Oh. Oh, it's you, Barstow. What's that? What? Well, now, say, wait a minute. Hold the phone, will you? John.
Yes?
Sheriff Barstow. Did you go to him just now?
Oh, yes, Daddy. I was going to tell you about that. I asked him to send a full description of Mary to police throughout the state.
Police? Well, golly, John. Sure, I'm still here, Sheriff. Yes, Mary was wearing a black coat with a fur collar. Well, How in blazes do I know what kind of a fur? Well, what difference does it make? Ain't two people in the world like Mary. Now you just tell the police to look for the sweetest, prettiest girl they've ever seen. Yes, in a black coat and hat. Why, sure, Phyllis would know about the fur. Well, no, all right, then call her right away and then... He hung up.
I couldn't tell him what kind of fur it was, either.
Worrying about a fur neck piece when he ought to be out looking for Mary. And John, don't you think you should have waited another day or so before you told the police and everybody in the world that Mary's disappeared? Suppose she just went away for a few days to visit somebody.
We discussed all that last night, Daddy. We can't think of anybody she'd be likely to visit. All her friends are here in Sanders, and they haven't seen her.
Well, I know, John, but I can't help thinking she's all right. Mary's got a good head on her shoulders, and she can always take care of herself. Most likely she knows exactly what she's doing.
I'd like to think so, Daddy. I tried to think so last night. But this morning, finally, I forced myself to face the true facts. I've made a serious mistake in judgment, professional judgment, in Mary's case.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, I suppose it wasn't so much a mistake as an unwillingness to admit the truth, even to myself.
The truth about Mary's mental condition? Is that what you mean, John?
Yes. I let my love for her influence my professional opinion. I hoped that she'd recover gradually from her obsession that Max was still alive. Instead, she grew steadily worse.
Well, now, I don't care what you say, John Benson. Now, you ain't going to sit there and tell me that Mary's lost her mind.
No, I don't believe that for a minute. But I am afraid that she's suffering a partial loss of memory, a partial amnesia, a curious mental quirk causing her to forget the things she wants to forget.
Oh, you mean to think that Mary doesn't want to believe that Max is dead? Hmm?
That's it, more or less.
Just the same, I think you're more upset than you ought to be. Now, I got a feeling that Mary's all right. I wonder if she had any money with her. You don't think she's going to starve?
No, that's not what I'm afraid of. That's not the reason I notified the police. I'm afraid that in her present frame of mind, she may be an easy prey for any, well, unscrupulous or unprincipled person who meets her. I don't like to think of her wandering in some strange city.
And back in Craig Falls, the snow blankets the river, and Mary, shivering now with cold, stands indecisively at the water.
It's getting colder, Max. You're not so close to me now. Max, where are you? Oh, what shall I do? Where shall I go? Someone's coming. I shouldn't be here at night all alone. Max, dear, I'm frightened. I don't know where to go or what to do. Please speak to me, Max. Tell me what to do.
Just a little longer. And don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid.
Oh, Max, you're still with me, aren't you? I'll try not to be afraid, darling, but it's so lonely here. And so cold. Oh, I'm so cold.
Down on your luck, sir?
Oh, I didn't see you. Oh, what did you say?
I said I've seen plenty of young ones like you set up the thing, is it? They come down here like you to jump in the river.
Oh, no.
Christmas night, girlie. Would you give me a Christmas present and leave me that nice warm coat before you jump in? Well, do you no good, and I could use it.
You think I... Oh, go away. Go away, I tell you.
Oh, you pretty women are all alike. Never think of nobody but yourself, even when you're fed up with living and want to end it all. Yeah, I'll go away. And if you want to jump in the river, go ahead and jump. Nobody's stopping.
Oh, I never knew there were people like that in the world. Max, darling, that isn't what you meant. That isn't why you brought me here to the riverfront. You didn't mean that life's over for me. You didn't mean that I...
Oh, man. No. A new life is beginning. behind the right road. Only a little longer, Mary. Don't be afraid.
Max, dear, I don't understand. But I'll wait here in the shadow of this wharf where no one can see me. No one but you.
Hello. What's this?
Oh, I didn't see you.
Yes, it's hard to see anything in this blinding snow. I didn't see you either until you practically stepped on my toes.
Oh, I didn't mean to.
Oh, I didn't think you did. What's your name?
Mary.
Nice name. Mine's David.
That's a nice name, too.
Hey, you're shivering.
Oh, am I?
Don't you even know that you're half frozen? How long have you been roaming around down here in the snow?
I don't know.
You don't know much of anything, do you?
No.
Well, neither of us will know anything if we stand here in the cold much longer. Well, come on. It's smarter to keep moving on a night like this.
But I have...
No, stop looking at the river. Only fools and cowards take that way out.
Oh, you don't understand. That isn't why I'm here.
Don't tell me. I can get. You came for the view. Well, because you're an Eskimo, homesick for the frozen north.
Hmm? No, I came because I...
That's all right. Let's skip it. Come on. Start walking before you freeze to death.
But I promised to stay
here. Oh, you're not staying here if I have to carry you. Looks as if I'll have to anyway. Poor kid, you're shaking all over with the cold. Now listen, you've got to walk and walk fast before you're too numb to move.
Max, what shall I do?
Go with me, Max. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Come on, come on. Say, you need some hot coffee.
Yes, something hot would be good. I'm so cold.
Well, we're making progress. You've admitted you're cold. Have you got any money?
Not much. You see, when I left home, well, I just left.
It's okay. You don't have to explain. Well, let's see. Got a few nickels. Yeah, that'll do. May I buy you a cup of coffee?
What?
Go with me, Mary. It's all right. And don't be afraid.
Yes. I'd like to have a cup of coffee with you, David.
Mary, alone in a strange city, is befriended on Christmas Day by a good Samaritan. Is Mary's instinct right in trusting him?